everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, South Carolina, and you can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. And just a reminder, please like, rate, review, subscribe to make sure that you don't miss this podcast on YouTube, on whatever podcast app that you're watching or listening to it in. It's real easy, right? If you're on YouTube, just right now, just take 1 second, hit the little thumbs up button, hit the little bell to subscribe. That's all you need to do. Same thing in the other podcast apps. Very simple. And I just appreciate if you guys could do that. This is the Christmas episode, right? I'm going to be releasing this. On Christmas Eve, all right? If you're one of the ones listening to this on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day, you're a diehard. Listen, let me know. If you're listening to this on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, let me know. I'm going to take you out for a drink or something because that is something unique and I really appreciate it. I'm wearing my ugly sweater. If you can't see it, it is Santa riding a T-Rex. I bought this a few years ago. I don't get to wear it very often, and when I do, I enjoy it. So doing that for you guys today. I'm recording this on December the 16th, in case you remember. That's when I recorded my last episode. Yes, because I want to have something that resembles a holiday season. I am trying to crank out my Christmas episodes, but I did put on the ugly sweater for you guys, so you guys would be able to see that in between episodes, right, that I'm recording. But basically, what I've learned from this episode, so this episode I'm going to be recapping my 2025 bold predictions and seeing how I did. What I've learned is that I either need to wait until like the middle of January of the next year to go over this, to like have all of the data, basically ducks in a row. But by that time, nobody cares, right? Nobody cares by January, you know, 20th or January, even January 15th. Like what my bold predictions were in 2025. So I do this as one of my December episodes, and we'll have to take a guess on some of these things, but most of these things we already know exactly what's going to happen and or what already has happened. And so we can look back and say whether I nailed the bold predictions or not. I love making my bold predictions and I love seeing how I did. So let's jump right in. So we'll start right at the top. I predicted that mortgage rates would remain above 6% per Mortgage News Daily for the entire year. Did that happen or did it not happen? I'm pulling up. I've got the, if you're watching on YouTube, I've got the Mortgage News Daily website up. And if you're looking at the chart, right, the blue line is the Mortgage News Daily line and 6% is at the bottom. It never went below 6%. For the entire year. We did it. We accurately made a bold prediction. There were a lot of people saying that it would go into the fives. I heard a lot of people saying that. You heard people in the White House saying that. And so this was something that to me seemed very clear cut. There was always the possibility it could go below 6%. But with all the volatility that we had in the economy and otherwise, it just seemed pretty much baked in. It was going to be above 6%. And that was a bold prediction, but it was a bold prediction. All of these bold predictions that I make, I have some sort of reason for making them, whether it's data or not. And so that one I nailed. This next one, I got half and half. So I asked two questions all in one. Will we have a recession and will inflation go to 2%? I said there would be no recession in that during this calendar year, and that inflation would return to at or below 2% by the fourth quarter using the Federal Reserve's measure of inflation. All right, so let's go to, we'll start with the recession talk, right? We did not have a recession. It looked like we might in the first quarter, right? When the first quarter came in negative on GDP, it seemed like, okay, all we need is two straight quarters. But then the second quarter bounced back. Now, here we go. One thing that we're going to run into with this episode, again, this is something that is completely outside of my control. Because of the government shutdown, there's a lot of data that we don't have. Now, I've heard rumors that the third quarter may have been negative, but you have to have two consecutive quarters that are negative. And again, at the moment, we don't know. We don't have the third quarter numbers yet because the government shut down. There's still a lag in data, even though the government's been back open for, you know, roughly a month at this point. So long story short, I got that part right. Now, as far as the inflation, I was not right on that. We look at PCE, which is what I said. This is the one that I said that I would be tracking for inflation. It's actually gone up. It started to go down at the beginning of the year, but here's what happened. Tariffs, right? As soon as the tariffs hit, you see an increase from April, and it's gone up every single month since April. It's now sitting at 2.8%. April is at 2.3%. So now it's at 2.8%. This is just an impact of the tariffs. Now, as many people have argued, the tariffs have roughly a one-time impact. And it's not an ongoing inflationary thing. However, what we've had is some of the tariffs have hit and then been taken away, and then other tariffs started and come back and forth. And so what we didn't have was we didn't have this one-time increase and then flatline and then maybe a decrease. What we've had is it has steadily gone up because there have been increasingly more tariffs added, a few taken away. But for the most part, it's just kept going up, as a result of the tariffs. So I'm at 1.5 out of 2 so far. I got half of that one right. I asked if there were any more big changes coming to the real estate industry with regard to the multiple listing service, with regard to contracts, clear cooperation, etc. And just the, as I did when I made these predictions last year, I'm going to say the same thing this year. I'm not making any official statements. I don't have any insider information here. But I basically predicted that it was going to be business as usual this year, which was very different from 2024, which had all sorts of, you know, all sorts of major changes in our industry, which we've talked about before. But long story short, I was right. There weren't any major big changes. I said there would be some paperwork changes. And that was the case. We did have some paperwork changes, but nothing too dramatic. It was mostly tweaking what was already in place. So checkbox, I need to have some kind of a sound. I need to have a doo-doo, you know, something like that. Every time I get something right or wrong, maybe I can have this video edited to put that in there. So if you're listening to this and you do hear that, just know that I did that after the fact. I don't usually do that sort of editing on my podcast, but maybe I'll make an exception this time. Appreciation, depreciation. I predicted that we would see between 1 and 2% appreciation. Now, we just talked about the market stats last month, but I am going to, for the past month in last week's episode, but I'm going to pull this up again, the median sales price, to show you guys that our current 12-month median is 1.6%. Right, like I hit the nail on the head. Now, again, we don't have the December numbers, but I don't see any reason to believe that the December numbers are going to sway this dramatically. I think that I nailed it. I said we would either depreciate by 1% all the way up to 2% appreciation. And again, tracking that based on the median sales price, that's not exactly one-to-one. As far as appreciation or depreciation, but it's the best way that we can track it. And right now, sitting at 1.6% for the past 12 months, I think that it's going to end up being below 2% for the year, which will be, again, I got that one right. Membership in the Greater Greenville Association of Realtors, up or down? I predicted that we would almost certainly have a down year in membership, just as a result of people struggling in the market. And so when I recorded that, we had total number of users I was tracking this kind of a clunky way. I would do this differently now, but regardless, I'm going to use the same metric I did before. Basically, I looked at the multiple listing service, really more of a multiple listing service membership than a GJR membership. But by that metric, we had 5,090 users. So that includes realtors, that includes affiliate members, that includes appraisers, and others. 5,090 users in the Greater Greenville Association of Realtors Multiple Listing Service. That did not go down. I predicted it would go down. It actually is very similar. It's 5,140. It went up ever so slightly. And again, we don't know exactly what's going to happen in the month of December, you know, for the rest of this year. But I'm going to take the L on this one, right? So that's number five. I've gotten 3.5 out of 5 correct so far. Let's look at number six. Inventory. Will it go up or down? And I predicted that we'll continue to see month-on-month increases in inventory until February or March, probably March. And at that point, the month-on-month increases will stop, but the year-on-year increases will continue until June or July. Not too happy about this. Let's pull up the inventory numbers here. So month-on-month, we basically had increases the entire year. So I was wrong at that point. It did not stop in the month of March. It continued on. April was higher than March. May was higher than April. June was higher than May. So forth and so on for the entire year. We're finally going to see November. If you listened to last week's episode, you know that November is probably going to be down from October. That's going to be our first decrease month on month. But what about year on year? I said that year-on-year increases would continue until July. I was dead wrong on that one, too. We're still having year-on-year increases even late into the year. And so I got all of that wrong, okay? So I'm at 3.5. Inventory ended up being a lot. We had a lot more inventory than I predicted. So I'm at 3.5 correct out of 6. Pending sales. Number 7. Pending sales. Will they continue to increase? And I said, yes, I'm predicting a pending sales increase year on year in every month in 2025. Let's look at pending sales. If I could ever find it. Did pending sales increase every single month? Yes, they did. Now, November is going to be close. But I set the rules. Now, we won't have December for quite some time, right? Because this is a number that gets revised. So the November number currently is showing a 38% decrease year over year, but that's going to get revised up and it's going to be really close to this number. I said last week that it's going to be either slightly above or slightly below, but I'm giving myself this one because so far all the ones that we have were an increase, and so I'm going to give it to me. 4.5 correct out of 7 so far. Number 8, I said cash transactions versus financing. I said that I believe that we will see cash transaction between 21 to 23% of closings. This was one that I had open and then it got closed on me. So you guys can watch me in real time as I pull this up in the multiple listing service. All right, if you're watching on YouTube, this is really exciting stuff. Like, this is probably the most exciting thing that you're going to see all day. So here we go. Let's look at, let me make sure I'm doing this correctly. Cash transaction. Yeah, I'm doing this correctly. All right. We're going to set, look at what sold, closing date, year to date, and then that comes out with 16,926. Pull up my handy dandy calculator. 16,926. Now, how many of those were cash? Let's see here. I'm having to work around. I've got so many different screens open here. I'm having to work around here. Okay. I've got to add a field. Household. Thankfully, I've done this a few times, so this doesn't take me too long. All right. Household. Cash. All right. 3,745. So what percentage does that come out to? 3,745. 22.12%. Thank you guys for sticking with me on that. 22.12%. You have to be wondering, Stan, how are you a wizard? You predicted 21 to 23% of closings would be cash transactions, and it came out to 22%. Listen, I have a gift, okay? Some kind of a prophetic gift or something like that. So, I nailed it. So what are we at? I think 5.5 out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 5.5 out of 8 is, I believe, where I'm at right now. So I nailed that one. Next one, number 9. Will Greenville County make onerous restrictions on development? I said yes. I'm quite confident that they will impose restrictions that up to this point they haven't. And they, you know, our current county council, they don't like development. And I understand why. They don't want, you know, they want to try to preserve Greenville in a way that it hasn't been preserved. I don't know. It like makes sense on the surface, but it's like, you can't, like, what they're trying to do isn't really helping. And housing affordability is a disaster right now. And so stopping development just hurts housing affordability all across the board. But I was right on this one, 6.5 out of 9. Greenville County did a bunch of things. Really, the big one was that they passed a year-long moratorium on cluster developments while rewriting rules around this type of ordinance. Now, I'm not going to get into this, but cluster developments are like one of the main things that one of the main ways that we have made it that developers in this area could make reasonable, responsible developments. And they passed a moratorium on that. They had put a sunset on this bill or on this ordinance that had basically made it that you had to make lot sizes at least 1.5 acre minimum. If it requires a septic in an unzoned area of Greenville County, they put a sunset provision in there to make it seem like they were going to reconsider it. They never reconsidered it. They just extended it. All right. So that's another really strict thing on development. They created permanent riparian buffers of 50, 100, 150 feet countywide, depending on the size of the property. So basically, you've got bodies of water, streams and things like that. You've got all of these buffers that you can't develop anywhere near those streams. Very little data to support. There is reasonable data to support. Obviously, you don't want to get too close to bodies of water to contaminate them. But they were just pulling numbers out of a hat. They created a study committee to discuss short-term rentals. That's not going to be good, right? If you're an Airbnb owner, get ready. And they authorized the Planning Commission to hire Tischler Bice to study an impact fee, okay? Impact fees are fees imposed on developers whenever they develop a house. They say that they do these impact fees. Basically, it's per lot. It's just a fee the developer has to pay per lot in order to start a development. And they say it's for infrastructure. The problem is it is never enough to impact the infrastructure. And even though it's not enough to impact the infrastructure because it's so expensive, you know, infrastructure stuff is super expensive, that impact fee gets tripled and passed along to the consumer, which is the buyer. So it makes housing affordability less affordable. Basically, doesn't help, only hurts for the most part, but it makes Greenville County and the county council constituents feel like they're doing something, right? They're hurting the developers. That's the big bad developers. They're not hurting the developers. The developers are making tons of money right now. They're hurting the buyers. They're hurting all the people that are in their 30s and haven't bought a house yet. That's who they're hurting. But they don't really care. So I was right on this one. 6.5 out of 9 I got correct. And final, 10 out of 10, I said, will sellers stop paying buyer agents, right? One of the big things that happened last year was this lawsuit was lost by the National Association of Realtors, and it completely changed the structure whereby realtors can get paid. There was a lot of angst in the real estate world among realtors that buyer agents would stop getting paid, and that would just make buyer agency go away. We had some episode where I talked about that, and I predicted, because this was going to be the year that we really saw the full implementation of all of this, I predicted that sellers we're still going to see the value of buyer agents, that they are still providing a value of bringing buyer clients to listings and helping them get those listings under contract. And I was correct. Sellers have continued to pay buyer agents. I'm not going to discuss how many apples or how many oranges, which is what the National Association of Realtors, they love to use, you know, apples and oranges, because we're not allowed to use numbers. I'm not going to discuss any numbers. Not allowed to do that. That's a really strict thing right now. But long story short, you know, let me say it this way, okay? So I represent both sides. I represent buyers, I represent sellers. The way I approach this with my sellers is I explain to them, I tell them, hey, you can pay and offer to pay a buyer agent any number that you want, including zero. It's entirely up to you. And I let them make the decision, what they want to do. And I've not ever had one say, you know what? That's a great idea. I'm not going to pay them. I'm just going to look for someone that doesn't have a buyer agent, or someone that can afford 100% to pay for their buyer agent. I've not yet personally had a client do that. I've not yet run into a situation where anyone else had a client that did that either. And so we have a situation here where buyer agents are still seen as essential to a real estate transaction. And I think they should be. I think that is a positive. I'm glad that sellers have come to that conclusion. That might change, right? Because again, there's no price fixing in this world. Sellers might decide, maybe if the market becomes a seller's market, maybe then we see buyer agent commissions change in some meaningful way. I don't know, but it didn't happen in 2025, and I predicted that there wouldn't be any meaningful changes in 2025, and I was right. I got 7.5 out of 10 correct, I believe, if I've kept up correctly. That's the best I've ever done with these bold predictions. And so I am very proud of myself. And I'm very proud of you guys, my listeners. Thank you guys so much for listening. And I hope you had, if you're probably, most of you are listening to this after Christmas. I hope you had a very Merry Christmas. Again, if you're listening to this on or before Christmas, please let me know, because we're going out. We're going to get something to drink. But you have to let me know on or before Christmas. Okay. And if it's on Christmas, I probably won't respond. And if it's Christmas Eve, I might not respond then either. But I will look at it. I'll respond when I get the opportunity. So thank you guys so much for watching and listening. All my contact info is in the show notes if you need a realtor in the Greenville area. And by the way, I've told you guys, 80% of my closings this year have been outside of Greenville County. I don't just work Greenville County. Anderson, Pickens, Spartanburg, all of those. Oconee, Greenwood, everything. And please like, rate, review, subscribe to the show, all those good things. And we will talk again for one final 2025 episode, my 2026 bold predictions, next week. Talk to you guys later.